This is Maria Buyukos.
And this is Zachary Richard Hill.
And you're listening to Creative Honey. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Creative Honey. It's Maria and Zach here.
Hello again.
Today, we're going to be talking about a topic that I think a lot of people continuously struggle with, and that's the portfolio and what should you put in it.
Well, yeah, especially in this time of the year, we're kind of doing the post-graduation, kind of theme podcast that maybe something we might say could help you, get ready for your future career as a creative genius. So we have like, 4 or 5 points we want to kind of go through today and
demystify it a little bit for everyone.
Yeah, because I remember the portfolio, constructing a portfolio, and the portfolio review I did was like a little nervous and nerve-wracking at first, but it was really rewarding and I made some friends and it was great. So we'll get into that and some other things, and we want to thank some people first and tell people where to find us and all that, right? We want to do that. So
you can find the actual podcast, the home of it right now is currently on Zach's personal site, and that is
zrhill.com, and I promise we're working on getting the actual Creative Honey website up. So I'm not trying to promote my own website, it's just a temporary home until we get things really up and running with the Creative Honey website.
And if you guys enjoy listening to podcasts on Stitcher, we're also on there as well. We always forget to mention that. You could also find us on iTunes. And,
if you can, rate and review us on iTunes, give us a good review to help spread the word and, get more listeners to us. So we really want to grow this thing and bring on guests and, do things outside the podcast to really help people in the creative industry, because we know we're going through it right now. We know it's a difficult industry at times. It's very rewarding, but challenging. So we kind of want to use this podcast as a vehicle to help some people. So, help us out so we can help you.
And as always, if you have any suggestions or critiques or anything, please feel free to shoot us an email at creativehoney.info@gmail.com.
And we want to thank your brother, right, for the music. We're keeping it true in the family here.
My little bro's been doing all the music for our podcast. We've been having fun playing with that.
I think we'll eventually bring on some other artists. So if you're a musician looking to maybe, let us borrow some music for our outros and intros, let us know. But your brother's doing an awesome job with that.
Yeah, and if you're interested in looking at some of his stuff, you can actually find it on SoundCloud. His name is John Buyukos, and he's under Mocketeel, MOCKATEEL.
On that note, get ready to listen to a transitional piece by him as we get going on what it takes to make a good portfolio and what that's all about.
Yeah, here we go.
So, here we are talking about the portfolio, the culmination of your life's work and all your hopes and dreams, for students and non-students alike. And I'm only kind of kidding, right? I mean, it's really the portfolio is really a summary of who you are as a creative. And I think that's one reason why we put a lot of pressure on it, so something to think about for sure.
Yeah, it can definitely be a very intimidating and a little bit of a stressful time, when you're coming out of school and, you may have a portfolio already together from what your teachers told you to do, but then you start kind of trying to get into the specifics of what kind of job you want to get. And then that's when it gets kind of stressful, because there's so many different types of employers. They have so many different ways of thinking and what they require. So how do you put that all together into something that can actually be well-rounded and used for many different job applications?
Right. And my first bit of advice is based on the limited but growing experience that I have, is the sooner you could at least mix in some non-student work with student work, the better. So I would suggest to all the students and, you know, young creatives out there. Even if it's self-initiated projects, even if it's, you know, non-client work, it just kind of shows a potential client or a potential employer that you have drive and ambition outside of the classroom. I mean, some of my favorite projects still, I still have a few student projects in my web portfolio. So I'm not saying that student projects are all for naught, but that's something to definitely think about.
Yeah, I agree, because when you start doing client projects, sometimes you may not always get to display like the vast skill like that you have, that you know, you may actually only be using a very small percentage of what you can do. So sometimes pushing yourself and doing projects that can take you to the next level personally are a nice little addition in there just to kind of show everyone what you can do.
Well, and to that too, like if you're doing a client piece, you know, a client project that's not going the way you wanted to, first of all, that really sucks, and I hope that's not happening to you. And we probably talk, you know, have future podcasts about how to avoid clients like that. But if that is happening, go ahead and, like, you know, make the project your the way they wanted to, and you have to collaborate with the client. But then, you know, get to, you know, try to remake the project in the way you wanted it to. And I think when it comes to your portfolio, I think it's okay to show your vision. I guess that's the point I'm trying to make. That's really the one kind of outlet or platform you could use to really show what you want to do.
Yeah. Yeah. And your portfolio is like your own personal flavor. You know, it's like, it makes everyone has their own unique take on a portfolio. And portfolios have evolved quite a bit in the last 10 years. I mean, it was like when I was in school just, you know, 4 years ago, it was still like, make a physical portfolio.
Yeah, make a book.
Get that black book with the sleeves and just start putting stuff in it. And actually, I was one of the first ones in my class to actually make like a little portfolio website. And I remember it being this like crazy novel thing. And now it's like the totally the norm.
Right. But I still think that kind of matters on the industry that you're doing and what kind of work you're doing. Because I think now that we have a digital platform and we have digital products, there's obviously work that you, it's only best to really show, you know, on a computer or an iPad or whatever, you know, like a digital portfolio. But if you're still interested in doing print or off-screen photography, I still think an off-screen printed portfolio has a lot of value to it, because if I'm looking to employ a designer outside of school and I'm a print, you know, I'm part of a print studio, I want to see how their work looks, you know, on paper, not on screen. So I agree with you that there's probably more digital portfolios today than print portfolios, but I don't think print portfolios should completely go away unless print completely goes away.
I have to ask you, Zach, I'm trying to remember, I think when you were going like a while ago, you're going to some interviews and stuff, you actually had both a digital and a physical. And what was the reaction when you handed over the physical portfolio?
Well, that's a good question. I was open to doing any kind of design, I did have both. And I still do. I actually need to update my print portfolio, but you know, I have a digital portfolio. That's pretty much my studio website. And then, yeah, I had a print portfolio, and the reaction was good. I think because, again, interviewers were impressed that I had a book, which I thought that was strange. So that told me that a lot of people applying for the jobs, a lot of designers applying for the jobs I was applying for, probably just only had a digital portfolio. So I think I got pretty far in the interview process and a couple of jobs I applied for early on because I had a book. In my book, I was one of those guys that, and we will talk about this more later, I had a book that was a little bit of a piece in itself. Like the book was definitely on brand, like the color palette and the illustrations, like I made that a project, basically.
You got it nicely laminated and bound.
Right.
Properly.
Yeah. So, you know, we'll talk about this more later about like how do you treat your portfolio, but I think that helped for me as well, because my senior year of college, I really felt like I had, so you know, my aesthetic was, I felt obviously it's still evolving post-college, but I felt pretty good about the kind of work I was making, and I felt good about my brand overall as a maker and a creator, and it was easy for me to transition that into a print portfolio.
Yeah, so like there's really not like one answer to this question about should you do print or should you do digital only. I think it never hurts to have both if you have the time and you have the luxury to make a print piece as well. It does make an impression. I think people generally really like that tactile kind of impression of things.
Well, I think it's much more simpler than that. Mm-hmm. Like I said, if you're looking to be UI UX or web design or any kind of digital design, then I don't think you need a print portfolio.
Yeah.
And in fact, I wouldn't want to see UI UX work in print. Just me personally. I want to see how it looks on the screen.
Yeah.
How is it prototyping? And with UX, you know, how are you solving problems? You know, how are you using UX research and UX, your UX work to solve the problems of your users and your stakeholders? You know, so I don't think you need a print portfolio for that kind of thing.
That's a great point. It's all in context to what you're doing. If you're not really exactly sure if you're wanting to do like one field, if you're more open to like pretty much anything in graphic design, you have experience doing a number of things, you know, and you want to have that potential to do print work or stuff like that, then yeah, I mean, have the portfolio. But if you're doing digital, all digital, like Zach said, I think that's probably a good way to do
it. I think the answer for that is going to be easier than you may think. Like, because it's just going to naturally, you're going to naturally roll that way. Like, if you're a musician, you know what you need to do for your demo, mm-hmm. right? I mean, that's the musician's version of a portfolio, basically. And, you know, a photographer knows what kind of book he or she needs to make, right? A painter probably needs to get their work shot, you know, and put in a book or online. But, I mean, we've talked about tools, you know, time and time again. We've had a podcast about that, obviously. But the tools that are out there now to, you know, to make a really quality portfolio without as much effort as it used to be. I was taught, you know, with my first design class to kind of set up work like the old school way with like black, you know, black matte board,
yeah.
And you making sure, you know, and spray adhesive and making sure everything was aligned perfectly and stuff like that. I'm really appreciative of that. But I don't think that's being done as much anymore. And I'm not even saying that's a good thing. I'm just saying that's something you probably don't have to worry about.
Yeah. And like, let's talk a little bit about, like what exactly do employers or clients want to see when they're looking through portfolios? Like, what is really going to make that impression and get people to respond really well to your work? And what's the best way to not distract from your work when you're showing in a portfolio?
There's a balance to this, because I personally believe that you should not really worry about what the employers or clients want to see to a certain extent. I'm a big believer of doing, you know, make the work that you want to make, not the work you think you need to make to get employed. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm a really big believer of that. At the same time, I think it's okay to find a studio or find a client and kind of observe and analyze what kind of work they're doing and what kind of freelancers they're employing and see if your work really matches. And if it does, it's great. But if it doesn't, you know, then you might have to look somewhere else. Like if you want to freelance for Nike, for example, and your aesthetic really, but you really are really good at making, you know, backgrounds for game animations or game design, that's probably not a good fit. Doesn't mean you're bad as an artist or creator. It's probably not a good fit. You probably should go to Blizzard. And it would be really weird if I try to show my portfolio to Blizzard and it's just not a good fit.
Yeah.
You know, vice versa. I'm not saying my portfolio is good for Nike either. I cross my fingers and dream, but overall, yeah, it's about fit at the same time. So yeah, you know, show the work you want to show, but also consider fit when you apply for places.
Yeah, that's a good point. it's definitely a process getting your portfolio there. It's like a, like Zach always likes to say that it's like a living work. It should never be complete or solidified because you're evolving as a person. And I think I've made this mistake where I get comfortable, I don't update my portfolio, and then it's like this big rush to update the portfolio.
I think whether you're working in a full-time job or not, you should update your portfolio twice a year. I that's just my opinion, and some people might say more and some people might say less, but I think my personal portfolio, if you go on my site, it's rolled over at least twice.
Yeah.
In the last year and a half, where it's almost completely new work. Mm-hmm. Because I'm a workaholic and I make a lot of stuff. And, you know, so a lot of what you see, I don't even show. But I'm just making a lot of work. And that, because of that, I'm evolving and growing still. So it's easier for me to update my portfolio twice a year. And it might get harder. It might definitely get harder in the next 5-10 years.
At least try and, if you can't like completely overhaul it, just make sure your work stays current. Like you may keep some older pieces that you're really proud of, but just make sure you put work on new stuff. Like, and it's really hard to do sometimes if you're like really full time or over full time and you're just exhausted, but try and throw some new life into there once in a while. It really helps you in the long run. Well,
and I say the portfolio is a living document, so you can lose that fear a little bit. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what I tell you sometimes. And that's why I tell other people that it's okay if you don't have your dream perfect portfolio yet, especially if you're coming out of school. Of course you don't, you know. There's always, I'm sure you had projects that you wanted to do, you know, while in school that you couldn't get to do. I know I did, you know, and I still do, you know, outside of school. So my point is like, don't wait to apply for jobs or don't wait to put yourself out there until like, oh man, my portfolio just has to be perfect. It's never going to be perfect. And that's the cool thing, because just know that and get over it and just put yourself out there. It's going to get better.
I will say this is something I struggle with myself. Zach is far better at just putting it out there. I get a little stuck on like this mode where I'm like, oh, it's not perfect. And I recently talked to another designer and they're doing the exact same thing. And I was like, oh, we got to stop doing that.
I think most people are. And yeah. And I don't want to sound like I'm not either. I definitely went through that. Mm-hmm. You know, I remember like I did my first portfolio review about a year ago, and we could talk about that later. But I was like, oh man, I got to make this perfect. And you know, this has to be just like lined up correctly, and that's important. But it was like a week left and before the portfolio review, and I was just like, dude, it's time to get it done. And I just, you know, I just did it, you know. And that's what you have to do at the end of the day.
Yeah, no, and honestly, I will say I finally kind of got over that hump, and I was like, this is liberating, like not being in that state of fear of like not having a perfect portfolio and then losing opportunities because you're too much of a perfectionist. So it's like it's admirable that you want it to be like awesome, but also there's such thing as like being too much of a perfectionist, as I'm sure many people know, and you can actually hold yourself back. And so someone who's less of a perfectionist just went out there and did it, and now they're living and breathing and doing work that you're not doing.
Right. Is it okay if we kind of sidetrack or kind of yes. take a step back and go back to, because I think this is really important, you know, showing the work you want to do.
Yeah.
And we kind of touched that a little bit.
Yeah.
And that, to me, when we were doing the show notes, I felt that this was the most important point.
Yeah, let's dig into this.
You know, that's kind of what I want to do, if that's okay. Yeah, just because, you know, I want to bring this up just because I made a big mistake, you know, a while ago, where I started, you know, making work that I didn't want to make because I thought that's the work I had to make. And I did that not too long ago. And that's something that I want to just tell other people and other creators not to do. You know, and I think this goes across the board, like, just because I always like to go back to photography, because I've got some good friends that are photographers. Like, if you don't want to be a wedding photographer, don't show wedding photography. And if you want to be an abstract painter, paint abstract paintings. Don't feel like, oh, well, only this kind of painting sells. Like, no, don't do that. You know, I know it's harder to make it as a fine artist in general, but just really make the work you want to make. And And how it worked for me was that I started doing just purely like UI UX work, because not only did I get hired to do that, it's like one of the biggest, almost hottest fields for creatives out there right now. So I just felt like, okay, I just recently got hired to do this, and you know, it's really hot, so I'm just going to start, you know, showing just that work and doing, you know, I'll tie in a little illustration into, you know, UI pieces or whatever, but it's really just about the interfaces and the UX research and stuff, which is great. But then I realized, like, no, you know, it's not what I really want to do at the end of the day. So I just, you know, pivoted completely back to who I am as a maker, and I just feel so much better for it. For me, it's been really great, because like I haven't had to, you know, keep a secret at the studio I work at. They all know like I enjoy doing the web and UI UX, but they know that's not really what I love to do, and it's not what I want to do at the end, because they've seen the work I do in my portfolio and they see me post stuff online. You know, the people I work with, like, oh man, let's try to integrate this into, you know, what we do in future projects, and we're a complete digital web design and UI UX studio, you know, so that's exciting to me. And if I never would have, you know, reworked my portfolio and started making the work that I want to make and showing that off, that situation probably never would have happened, you know. So for me personally, that's one of the biggest mistakes I've made in the last year and a half, is start making work that I think will sell, you know, rather than making the work I want to make and hopefully attracting the clients that want to be part of that process.
Yeah, I think that's I'm really glad you elaborated on that, because if you continuously try to do things for other people, and this applies to life too, you're right, going to be stuck in a vortex of unhappiness. Like, you may be okay with it at first, but after a while, it kind of like chips away at your soul and you really start to have that longing. And meanwhile, you spent all your time doing stuff that's not with your heart, aligned with what your heart wants. So it's a lot harder to go back if you haven't been doing it all along.
And I want to be clear too, that it's okay to be cognizant of your goal is to make money being creative for a living. So, I mean, it's okay. Make the work you want to make, but don't intentionally make work that won't make you money at the same time. So it's okay to find a niche that really you're passionate about, and that should be a workable formula for anyone listening to this, and make the work you want to make. And if it's quality work, then I think you'll eventually start to attract the clients. And if you don't, then it's okay maybe to pivot a little bit, but maybe not like completely pivot from, for me, it was pivoting from like illustration and more pure graphic design to like UI UX design. Just UI UX design, I mean. Or if like you're a rock musician, or let's say you're a jazz musician actually, and you love doing jazz, but it's not making tons of money, like, are you gonna go like, oh, I'm gonna be a rock musician? Like, you might make more money, but you're not gonna be fulfilled, and you're not gonna really enjoy the work you're doing, you know. So don't fall into that trap of like, oh well, I gotta make this piece, you know, or I gotta make that piece to show I'm this way. Like no, like, do you want to make prints? And like, if you're a designer, and I know I've kind of been rambling this whole podcast, but let's say you're a designer, you're a graphic designer, like, and you want to make packages and prints and stickers and put that on your portfolio. You know, if you want to make web design, put up web design pieces and just show the work you want to do. Because there's people hiring for that, you know. But at the same time, yeah, if there's an industry that isn't out there for your work, then don't do that. Unless you want to try to create a new industry, that's probably a little too crazy, but you know,
why not? No.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Maybe. You
know. Well, yeah. I mean, there's so many facets to creating the right portfolio, and it's never going to be 100% right, but you're just going to keep evolving over time. And the important thing is that you're cognizant of why you're doing what you're doing, why you're building the portfolio, and what things you decide to put on there. Another thing that I think a lot of people wonder about is like, if I do invest all the time in a portfolio, whether it's a physical portfolio or whether it's a digital one, like, should it be this like work of art in and of itself? Like, should there be like a lot of time spent on that?
That's a good question. And I think me personally, no. I went, my first portfolio review, I had a really, really talented art director look at it. And what he liked most about it, that even though there was parts of it that were really, like, crafted, he really liked that the meat of the portfolio was literally, like, my piece and some type describing the piece. And he's like, yeah, that's all I really want. At the same time, I had friends that really decked out their portfolio, like did die cuts, you know, pop-ups. And I'm not saying that's wrong either, you know, because that's showing, again, you want to show the work you can do. So especially if you're a student and you feel like, oh, I really like my student projects, but it's really not showing everything I'm capable of, the portfolio is a great opportunity to really maybe show your chops.
You know, definitely. I think there's some fields that really could, you know, people could really take advantage of the opportunity to build out like a really sick, like, physical portfolio. Like, for example, if you want to do packaging design.
I was about to say
yeah.
that. Yeah.
Make
a package. Cool.
You know? Yeah. Seriously, like, yeah, you should use your, because that's going to be a product. That's going to sell someone's product. So if you can use it to sell your product, which is your portfolio, I think that's good. Another is kind of like a random industry. It's still in the creative field, but I have a friend who's a horror makeup artist. She's really good. She's like the crazy, like, special effects makeup. And she just recently made this amazing portfolio, and it's like, she sculpts and she takes molds. So like, she made the cover of her horror portfolio, like, stretched out, like, skin with, like, cut in, like,
yeah, that's rad.
Effects, like the name of her little, like, practice in the and it was, like, incredibly realistic, and so much, it was, like, gross but awesome at the same time. And I think that's perfect, because she physically makes things with her hands and makes these molds, and it really shows, like, just looking at that cover alone shows off how skilled she is with those types of mediums. So there's definitely, I think, plenty of fields that you could totally go right. all out.
I think there's a balance. I think, like I said, there's an opportunity to use your portfolio as a way to show off what you could do, but there you could easily kind of go too far, you know, and it becomes a distraction. So it's just, I think it's just something to think about. And really, I mean, if you're a student, ask your professors. They know. That's what I would do. That's what I did.
That's a good question. I mean, that's a good point, because, you know, we're accumulating knowledge as you go, but there's nothing like asking someone who's really seen a lot, done a lot, you know, talked to a lot of people and kind of seen patterns and all of that. Like, it's a really helpful thing to do.
That kind of leads us to this other point. What do employers want to see? I know we kind of went over that a little bit, and we actually kind of decided that not to worry about that too much, right? But that being said, I think there are certain things that all employers want to see regardless of the work you're making. And I think it's really an easy answer in itself. It's just the quality, right? Can you do the work? We talk about that a lot off the mic, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely let the work shine at the end of the day. Whatever you're doing, make it legible. Make sure it's laid out well. And make sure your work is just front and center. Like, you don't want too many distracting things around it. Like, I'm not necessarily a huge fan of mock-ups. I do a lot of, like, interface design, and honestly, like, I feel like sometimes those really rad, like, you know, mock-ups that everything's, like, sideways and 3D, like, don't really show the work off.
I hate those.
It, honestly, like, you can't really see the full interface, and there's so many effects and layers. Like, you're like, is this real, or is it, like, what is going on here? So I like mine head-on so you can see the whole thing.
I use digital mock-ups, and there's, like, if you go to, like, thegraphicburger.com, there's, like, plenty of really cool mock-ups, and they're, I don't want to, like, you know, trash them or anything, but I try to use them sparingly.
Yes, yeah, sparingly.
You know, because if it's an off-screen product, then make it. Like, don't mock it up on a package. Make the package. I took a lot of package design classes, so I sound like a package design snob because of that. You know, I think those are useful, maybe a quick way to show a client something or something like that, but to put in your portfolio, I mean, just based on my experience, I wouldn't. I'm using my whole entire web portfolio right now, I have one digital mock-up. It's a poster. But I, like, it was one of those rare ones where I'm like, wow, this looks, like, really, really good. You know, so I went ahead and, like, it worked this time. But most of the time, I would go against using digital mock-ups of things.
Yeah, I'm not totally against digital mock-ups. I definitely think that I've used some, and, like, I think there's certain, like he said, the key is to use them sparingly and don't let it take away from your work, because, like, as for me, the big one I see that can cause some issues is with more with the, like, user interfaces, because it's so distracting, and like you really can't get a good feel for what that interface looks like.
Yeah, I mean, I think, well, this kind of goes to, at the end of the day, they want to see, can you do what you say you can do on your resume?
Yeah, do you need to fluff it out to make it look good, or does it look good on its
own? Exactly. Well, for example, like if you're applying for mostly a UX job, how's your research skills? How's your problem solving? How are your wireframes? Use your personas, et cetera, et cetera. And if it's more of a UI or a combination UX UI, yeah, how is your layout skills? How are your type choices? You know, and then, you know, that kind of goes with any field. If you're applying for video production, from photography production, you know, like they want to see the quality of that. And if you're doing a more graphic design production, they might not care so much, especially if you're junior level, how much you could think. Unfortunately, I know that stinks, but they want to see how fast can you do the thing they want you to do for them. You know, like, can you do that thing well? You know, so.
Yeah, there's many tiers to consider and like phases of where you'll be traveling throughout your career, into what phase and different things that are expected of you. So that needs to be reflected. But I mean, the key is, I think, just do the best work you can, and don't let it be your portfolio be too distracting. Like, let your work really come through. Don't try and act like you're trying to hide something with effects or like, you know, too many weird mock-ups. Make sure your layout, especially if it's like a digital, you're more digital, if you're focusing on like a website for your portfolio, make sure it's really clean. Like, you don't need to have like an insanely creative like website to show your portfolio. Like, most, you'll notice a lot of them are very similar, but that's for a reason.
Right.
Because your work, you're showing in your work, and since you have so many pieces on there, you don't want them to clash with like a crazy website that you made. I mean, I've seen it pulled off before though. Like if it's like super minimalist, but really like just the way it's put together is advanced. Like, yeah, it could work, but it's harder to do that way for sure.
Right, for sure. So I think we have one more point to cover, which is, it's kind of going, the reason why I bring it up right now is kind of, we talk about like showing potential employers work, but is there anyone else we should show our portfolio to? I'm a big believer of yes. And we've kind of covered this before in other podcasts, but you know, it's easy to show off our work in certain social media platforms or to other designers or other photographers or other creatives, right? In our field, and get their opinion and feedback. But those are probably not your clients. They may be your bosses eventually, but if you're freelancing, graphic designers don't have lots of money to spend on you. So your potential client will probably not be another graphic designer or another photographer or another painter.
And those people who are actually going to be hiring you want the design to appeal to a pretty large audience usually. To draw a new business, to enhance a product. So you're going to want the general public to feel something from what you're doing, because designers, yeah, we get in our own little world, and you know, we have these little bubbles of social media that we like to exist in, but at the end of the day, does your work speak to the average person? Can you drum up business for another company by doing
right.
that?
Right. No, I think that's a great point. The best compliments I get are automatically from non-designers for me. When I talked to, and I was just talking to a non-designer friend of mine last night, and he was telling me that my work resonates with him. Like, that's more important than, you know, having a graphic designer like my work. Do I want that too? Of course. But if I had to choose one or the other, I'd rather have a non-designer and a non-illustrator like my work. So on that note, don't be afraid to show it to your family. Show it to your friends. Show it to non-creatives in general, you know? Like, show it to as many people as you can and get feedback, you know? Like, of course, you know, if you're a designer, let's say, yeah, you want advice, maybe some kerning, typesetting, color choice, layout, but maybe it's okay to hear, like, your aunt or grandma say, oh, that just kind of looks funny. they don't know what kerning or leading is, but, you know, people know when something looks weird. You know, especially today in such a visual, you know, society, like, oh, that just looks off. And cool. That might be more valuable than hearing about the kerning at the end of the day.
Yeah. And you don't need to, like, let's say, like, you don't necessarily, like, live around a lot of family and friends. You're kind of somewhere, like, you're not used to being. And you can't really physically show a lot of people your portfolio. just start hashtagging industries that you want to see your portfolio, that you want to see your work. Like when you're posting stuff on Instagram or wherever, hashtag the audience that you want to appeal to. Like it could be like literally like the most like random stuff. Like it just is, who do you want to appreciate your work? Like who's not a designer, and just try it out and you'll see, they'll comment if they like, it's, I feel like it's more flattering when they respond to it.
Exactly.
I kind of feel like when I do that and I get some, I'm like, okay, this is going somewhere. Like this could be a real life product for sure.
Absolutely. That being said, absolutely should be mandatory in your mind and heart to go to at least one portfolio review, one professional portfolio review. And this is just based off of my experience. And I'm telling you, a lot of you that are listening to this are probably more talented than me. And I'm not just here to bash myself. I'm just saying, hey, if I could do it, you can do it. And my story is I went to one portfolio review, which was really cool, but it wasn't like in a major city. It was in Santa Barbara, near where I went to school, hosted by AIGASB, and they're really great up there. I hope Kier's listening. If you are, thanks, and you're awesome. You're doing a great job with AIGA up there. But I went to their portfolio review, and I made 2 to 3 friends, including one of the portfolio reviewers. I consider him like a legit buddy through social media mostly right now, and I got some work out of it. You know, just by going to one portfolio review in a smaller city, mind you. So if you're in one of the larger cities and there's a portfolio review, the chances of that even happening is even better. So I cannot stress enough, go to a portfolio review, period.
And it's cool because it kind of feels like you're cheating, because you get to go and talk to people you wouldn't normally have access to. Like, they're there to comment on your stuff, and you normally wouldn't really be able to talk to them or access them that easily, but they're there for that purpose. So that day you get to talk to like industry leaders and stuff like that.
Yeah. And I definitely got real criticism. Like one of the reviewers was more of a pure graphic designer, and I'm kind of like a mix of illustration and graphic design. And at first he was like, why did you even come to my table? And I was like, cause you're a graphic designer. He's like, well, you're more of an illustrator. I was like, I'm glad you see that, because it makes me think, oh man, I need to really bring more of what I've learned as a designer into my overall portfolio. So that's just like one example of some of the feedback that I got. You know, I got to talk to 3 different reviewers that day, and it was really awesome, and I can't recommend it enough.
Yeah, I remember that was like a really big turning point for you, like perspective-wise and career-wise. Yeah. And also like he got feedback as well that was like, hey, this is great. Run with your style. Like keep this voice like strong. Like so you get kind of a like a little spectrum of advice. And I think that's just really
That priceless. Was so vital for me, because yeah. I was like, man, I'm making stuff I like, but is it going to work outside of school? I was really wondering that. And so having a professional in the field saying, yeah, like this is going to work for you. Just keep doing it and like refine it, improve it. He wasn't like, oh yeah, just don't change. He was like, yeah, you can make it better, but yeah, just keep rolling. And I was like, oh man, it was such a relief that I'm not completely crazy, because like in school, you know, I was making definitely like, now I'm not even saying better or worse, but different work from most of the people I was going to school with. And I was like, man, they seem to like, you know, I don't think they're going to have a problem getting work or jobs. Am I? Cause I'm making like really, really weird stuff, you know? So it was a relief to hear like, yeah, you're on the right track for sure.
Yeah. Everyone needs that once in a while, just to have a little critique, and then affirmation as well, because we need a little mix of both.
Absolutely.
But yeah, I mean, we're just trying to address something that, you know, in general, we try to address things that we struggle with, we've struggled with, and we know that people everywhere are having, you know, issues with. And hopefully, you know, we break it down a little bit so that you guys can have a bit of a guide. Today we hit about like,
yeah, do you want to cover like all the points?
Yeah, let's go over them
really quickly as we kind of close out here.
Yeah, we covered we pretty much covered like 5 main points,
right?
The first one is, you know, what how relevant are certain types of portfolios now? Like they've changed obviously from like 10 years ago. Like what's good? Physical, digital, both?
And we kind of decided it's just based on what you want to do, right? At the end of the day, right?
Exactly.
And then like the second point was, and this is what I really hammered and I really care about show the work you want to do and not the work you think you should show.
Amen. Yep.
Not more to say about that.
That kind of speaks for itself. Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
And then the third point was, what do employers or clients want to see out of your portfolio? What's going to speak to them?
I think at the end of the day, they want to see the work.
Yeah.
And, you know, they just want to see it professionally done.
Mm-hmm.
So number two, the second point that we really care about still comes into play, but you can still just make sure you show your work off professionally. One of my favorite illustrators who also does a podcast, Andy Miller, he has a great saying, like, you know, dress for the job you want, not the job you have. Mm-hmm. You know, so just, you know, be professional when you show your work. I think it's a point he's trying to make.
Yeah, definitely a good one. Also, our fourth point was, do you need to trick out your portfolio and make it like an art piece in and of itself?
Again, I think it depends on the situation and what you're trying to do and what kind of work you currently have in your portfolio. There's definitely an opportunity to do something like that, but restrain yourself at the same time.
Yeah, and then our kind of last point we covered is, who do you show your portfolio to, and should you expand outside of your design group and kind of spread it out to the world, see what they think?
And I say yes, and everybody, and go to a portfolio review. I have a job that I'm pretty happy with, and I'm going to probably go to another portfolio review pretty soon.
I might just go with that, go right along with you.
Yeah, you
I
should.
I want to experience that too.
Yeah, yeah. Let's just get feedback and get better.
Yeah, I agree. There's actually one more little point I kind of forgot to cover.
We have a bonus point.
Bonus point. How many pieces? How much is too much?
Oh, man.
I can't believe we almost didn't cover that.
That's a mega bonus point. How did we not cover that?
I know.
Wow. I say minimum, like bare bones minimum is 6.
And why?
Just to show a little bit of range. But at the end of the day, don't let anything stop you. So if you only have like 3, show 3. Who cares? You'll make 6 sooner or later, hopefully.
And what is too much, though? Like, what is the past the realm of like getting a little claustrophobic? Like, what do you think is?
I think anything past, just for me, past 12.
Mm-hmm.
I think it depends on the work you do, too. Now, I've noticed that a lot of people that do like illustration and graphic design work, they tend to show a lot. And
you
I think
have a lot on yours. Yeah.
My portfolio is literally feels like a zoo. And I actually, it feels like a circus. And I'm shooting for that because that's kind of like, I want people to kind of feel like it's fun but off-putting at the same time. I think that's a good point. I do have a lot of pieces. That's what I was going to bring up for. I noticed that illustrators and more pure graphic artists are doing things like that because I think that's the way of showing they could do a lot of work and do it fairly quickly, because especially in the editorial illustration world, that's what art directors are expecting. Make a lot of stuff and make it fast. You know, so I think that's why I've noticed a lot of illustrators go with a kind of a quantity thing.
Yeah.
Because they want to show they've made a lot of work, like, you could trust us, we've done this before, and our turnaround is pretty quick.
Yeah, and if you want to see, like, kind of, I do more, I like branding stuff and UX and UI. So if you want to kind of see the difference between those kind of fields and how that looks in a portfolio, you can actually go and check our portfolios out. Let us know what you think.
Yeah, let's plug ourselves here.
Yeah, no, I'm just saying, like,
oh, no, I'm serious.
Yeah, like, because, you know, I'm actually still working on
it. It's a contrast.
Mine, yeah. Like, if you want to see Zach, what's yours again?
ZRHill.com.
And if you want to see mine, it's my whole name. So it's Maria, BOUGIOUKOS.com. And you'll kind of see we have a distinct kind of difference between.
Yeah, no, I was joking about the plugging thing because I actually think that's not a bad idea if you're interested, just to see the contrast. And I think both portfolio approaches is okay.
Mm-hmm.
So because I'm shooting to do something totally different than what Maria is doing. So my portfolio site's a little busier, a little more chaotic. The work I make doesn't necessarily take as quote unquote long hours wise as the work Maria does. You know, so I'm looking to do more graphic work, and why Maria, and like, I'm trying to get better at building concepts in my work for sure. But I think Maria is really shooting to do more problem solving and pure like graphic design and within the conceptual sense. So I think it's good that her portfolio is a little bit more focused and concise and minimal. But you can also see there is similarities in our portfolios. Like the type's pretty clean. The work,
grid style,
the work kind of just is the, it's easy to see the work and go through the work.
We don't have a bunch of fluff or like crazy like you know long blurbs about exactly like what it is. We give like a little intro, but like here's the work, you know, check it out.
Right, exactly. So yeah, I mean, we obviously are always flattered if you ever look at our work, but just I think seeing our two portfolios might be a good, you know, case study of different approaches to showing your work online for sure.
Yeah. And if you guys, I mean, I'm sure you guys have heard and seen a lot of different sites out there for building your portfolio, but just in case you're kind of curious, or if you're just starting to get into, you know, you want to really update your portfolio. Actually, one of my cousin who's a photographer just asked me the other day about like, oh, what should I do to build my portfolio online? We actually have some that we've worked with that we really enjoy. I actually switched recently to Adobe Portfolio, which was a pretty good experience. It has some glitches, but it's really easy and really clean. You can really turn it around very quickly. I really recommend that. Squarespace is another one.
I'm on Squarespace. Yeah. I know I'm not supposed to admit that as a web designer, but for the kind of work I want to show, it's fine for me.
Yeah.
It's like, do I want to build a website from scratch to show my illustration work? I don't. So Squarespace is great. I think Adobe Portfolio is great.
Also, if you want more of a drag and drop approach, you could use Weebly. They have started to come up with their designs, and it's like one of the easiest builders, although Squarespace is more refined.
To me, the platform, if the work is good, the platform should be irrelevant, because you can make any platform work to match the work you do.
Yeah, and that's why, like, even though Zach and I do UI, we don't like full blown like build our own thing, is because like at the end of the day we probably end up building something custom that looks just like, because like just like one of the things that we use now, because it's just simple and modular, like you don't need crazy stuff. So why like go build this thing that's gonna look, something's already being done, it's everything is really easy to plug in. You know, Emily, I've gone from Weebly to WordPress, and finally I did Squarespace, and I just kind of ended up.
Oh yeah. If you want something a little more, fancier, Tobias Van Schneider, he's like the huge rising star in design right now. He came up with, a product called Simplice. It's a WordPress theme that's kind of geared towards designers and creators. So that's something to check out. We used it a little bit when Maria and I were thinking about coming together to work together or some stuff. So
it was actually pretty well built, like pretty easy to use, like compared to some other ones. Another really great one, I think probably a lot of people have heard of it, is by Elegant Themes, is Divi. It's like amazing, modular, like just really well laid out and a very feature rich. So, and you could do a lot. It's a very like, it's so like a very utility type of template. So hopefully we've given you some resources as well, so you can check all these out and start playing with them. And they're all competitively priced. I mean, you're gonna be paying like give or take a few dollars less or more here and there, depending on which one you choose. But you're gonna have to invest at some point in your portfolio, because that's what's gonna get you money, which is gonna pay you know more than pay for what you spend.
Invest in yourself.
Yeah, you have to invest in yourself. So whether you're a photographer or a makeup artist or whatever, a designer or whatever, you know, you could really benefit from one of these platforms and having an online presence as well.
Right, I agree. So, yeah, I think that's pretty good. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah,
we're all good there.
Yeah. So, yeah, we're going to keep it rolling. So, any suggestions, like we said, just drop us a line in at creativehoney.info@gmail.com. And you can also visit us at other social media outlets.
Yeah, we're on Instagram and Dribbble and Twitter. You know, we'll have our links on the show notes, but we've mentioned it in other podcasts. But let's mention it again right now anyway.
Sure, go ahead, Zach.
So you can find me on Dribbble, my full name, Zachary Richard Hill. Same thing, Instagram, Zachary R. Hill. Twitter, Zachary R. Hill. So that's how you can find me on social media. You can add me as a friend on Facebook. I don't care. I add people all the time. Add me. It's totally fine. And then my website, again, is zrhill.com.
Maria? Instagram is the easiest way to find me because it has the shortest username. If you want to hit me up on Instagram, I'm on that the most. It's Maria_Fofia. Super official. So yeah, you can hit me up there. Or if you want to type some extra characters, you can find me on Twitter. It's just my first and last name, Maria, and then Bougiouks. And you could also find me on Twitter with the same exact handle, Maria Bougiouks.
So there we are. We're all out there in the digital world. And hopefully this podcast was helpful and informative for you. And like we said in the beginning, we have some exciting things planned and people we want to bring in to help make this thing grow. You know, we want to interview some people and bring in some people to really build this up. And eventually we don't want to jinx anything by revealing long-term goals, but I'll just say, like, you know, we want to eventually turn this into a vehicle that promotes creativity and the arts, you know, at all levels, like elementary school all the way up to the professional level.
Yeah, we've got some pretty big dreams and goals, aspirations for this, so we're really excited.
So we're hoping the podcast is just the beginning, basically.
Yeah, and we just want to be able to reach you guys like the best way we can. So yeah, if you like what we're doing, just feel free to give us a review on iTunes, if you can. Also,
that would be really helpful.
Yeah,
for sure.
We'll show up a little easier on iTunes. Also, if you want to check it out, check out Stitcher. If you already have the app, you can also find us on Stitcher under Creative Honey as well.
We'll eventually be on SoundCloud too, along with the website that's really high on my to do things for Creative Honey list. So
yeah, we'll have access to obviously all the episodes on the new website as well. I know Zach's been posting each episode on his blog at his personal website. So hang with us. We'll be updating everything soon. And hopefully this was informative for you. And we hope to have another great episode coming right at you next week.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks for listening, guys. We appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.